Now, Sarah, you gave a talk yesterday, quite a wide-ranging talk, but there was an idea in there that really intrigued me, which is you were talking about the need for a different relationship between people, citizens, and science. I wonder if you could tell me a little bit about how this idea came about, first of all.
The overall thrust of my paper yesterday was saying that, in view of all of the issues that are going to emerge around the development of synthetic biology health technologies, we would need a broader framework to address all of these. For example, when we look at the introduction of experimental synbiotechnologies into the clinic, we run into issues not only within medical ethics within the standard doctor-patient framework, but we also run into issues of research ethics, researcher-participant relationship, and we invoke wider issues related to the uses of science in society and how we ought, or indeed if we ought, to be managing that at all.
There's a considerable effort to put into trying to increase the science literacy of many different populations. Do you see this as an extension of that, or is this some sort of sea change we're needing to produce in some way?
I can't comment on why science literacy initiatives are growing in various countries, but I certainly think it's a good thing. Under the moral framework for science that I'm trying to elucidate, science is a social institution. It's something that benefits the public, and it is therefore something that should be supported by the public. By this, I mean not just the public paying taxes to pay the scientists to do their thing. I mean a much more kind of active engagement. So science should be something that the public do, in a sense, as well as scientists. And they do it by thinking about it, by understanding it, by engaging with it, and by talking about it, by helping to contribute to decisions made about what science should do and what science should be for. So obviously, to demand engagement without doing something to facilitate that, to ask people what they think about science without attempting to give them the tools and the concepts with which to think about science in an intelligent, informed way would be just silly. You need to have that increased literacy in order to get increased engagement.
You talked a little about the idea of, as synthetic biology advances, there will be synthetic organisms, synthetic viruses, synthetic things that will do things to us. We might introduce them into our bodies. Those need to be tested and explored in a number of different ways, not least straightforward clinical trials. Now, am I right in thinking that you were arguing for a much greater involvement in those sort of trials, those sort of decisions by the public? And if so, how might that come about?
Absolutely. I think that the current paradigm, if you like, of research ethics is very much skewed towards protecting participants. It's an almost paternalistic attitude about protecting them from harm. This is understandable if you look at the historical reasons why the research ethics framework developed, of course, but I think now, in light of the ways that people are starting to interact with science and the expectations we have of science and medicine, I think a much more two-way interactive framework is necessary. At the moment, people are given the absolute right, of course, to refuse to take part in research, and that is perhaps as it should be. But there are many trials that simply never take place. In other words, people don't have the right to consent to things that don't happen, either because maybe because they're not funded, it may be because scientists decide not to do them, but it might also be because they don't get ethical approval because somebody else, not the patient, but somebody else deems it's too risky. Consider that we allow people to refuse life-saving medical treatment, even where to do so would be at great risk to their own lives. Why do we not allow people to make the same sorts of risky decisions when it comes to taking part in research?
Are you arguing that scientists should say, we might want to try this, we might want to try that treatment, this treatment, we've no real idea where they might go, but they are potentially valuable avenues, and should open those ideas to the public for them to say, yes, I'd like to be involved in that, rather than just doing it all within the relatively closed walls of academia and hospitals at the moment?
I'm going to pounce on two things you said there. One is the we have no real idea what they might do, but would you like to be involved? And the other is the closed walls of academia. Clearly, I don't think that the public having a right to participate in research, by which I mean a broadly construed participation, not just to be an experimental subject, but to contribute to the whole process of generating ideas and shaping science. clearly a right to participation research doesn't just mean that you can rock up to your nearest hospital or research centre and say, me, do it on me, or let alone say what kind of research they should be doing on you. So I think saying we have no idea what's going to happen, but would you like to do it, implies an almost dangerous sort of scientific irresponsibility. We don't do science when we have no idea what will happen. That's not good science. We do science within carefully controlled parameters where we have a fair idea what the desired effects are, and we test things to see whether the effects manifest. So I think we do have to be careful about that side of things, and about making sure that scientists and the public are responsible in the kinds of research that they want to see done. And that, as we said, requires a certain level of information and understanding. But what you said about the closed walls of academia, I do think is very much a problem. We have the whole idea of scientific expertise and the scientific community, and that can in some ways be a community that excludes people who are not experts, who don't perceive themselves as scientists or as part of the scientific community, from having any input into the kinds of decisions that are made, any engagement with ideas about science. So my understanding is that a lot of people who are not scientists feel that they are excluded from these things. They will say, well, you know, that let's leave that to the scientists. And I don't think that's a responsible sort of attitude for the public to have. Science is something that should be for all of us.
Do you think it's possible to bring about this change?
That's a tough question. I guess if I didn't think it were possible, I wouldn't be arguing so hard that it should happen. But I think we start to see the beginnings of possibilities. We are laying the foundations. As you said, there's definitely a move towards increasing public engagement with science. This is happening at many levels. If I were to say some of the ways through which this could be promoted, obviously there has to be an incentive for scientists to want to do it. So this could be achieved through, for example, through funders building greater public engagement into their funding schemes. It could be achieved at governmental level by instituting national public engagement policies. And, of course, it could be achieved institutionally as well. If your institution rewards you for your participation in these sorts of activities and promotes greater involvement of the public with what its scientists are doing, then that's going to be a good way as well to get the public more involved.